This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're having a good week so far. This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. My name is Peter Gowers. Let's get to the NT Independent online newspaper now. Chat with the editor, Chris Walsh. Walshy, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Pete. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too, mate. And it's just endless now, isn't it? There's no point me even saying another busy week for you.
It's like you're putting a curse on me every week when you say that.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I'll say it's been a quiet one, has it, Chris?
You know, though, it seems to be intensifying here, everything, as we get closer and closer to, I don't know if it's the end of the year, closer to the election, but there just seems to be a lot more intense, everything that's going on these days. And kind of a big one this week with that reshuffle that we had heard about for a while, but was finally pulled off by files on Monday.
Yeah, it feels to me like, yes, a cabinet reshuffle, but there's a real feeling to it of ducking and weaving.
Yeah. Well, especially because of how this kind of went down. Yeah. And look, I'll just tell you, and we'll get into it in greater detail on the weekend, but can I tell you by about 1 o'clock on Monday afternoon, when this thing wasn't announced, we started thinking, I started making calls around saying, do you think that there's a problem inside here in the caucus room? Like, if Files hasn't been able to pull this off. Now, of course, we had reported last week that it was going to be on Friday. That changed for whatever reason. And by Sunday night, the state media NT News was being told by Files' office that it would all be done on Monday morning. So you're looking at something that we expect at 11 a.m. probably at the latest. So when it got to be one, you know, the question started to be, you know, has there been a leadership spill? Because, you know, this was the thing, and I talked about it last week, does she have the clout or the power in that party room to even do a reshuffle? And what are the consequences of that, right? If she kicks out certain people, demotes them, do they then all get together and say, well, you know what, we want you to lose your job? And it seemed like a very real possibility. And I'll get into more things about that on the weekend and little things that were said on Friday. And I think we know there's a guy who's a wild card in all of this. And he didn't get promoted. In fact, he got a promotion somewhere. He got more. He got another portfolio, which was interesting because this guy's done a terrible job. But really, the rest of them have too. But it was interesting. You could tell that Files is certainly scared of certain individuals in her caucus room and what they might do, especially when that guy's out leaking to media about what Files is doing. And she didn't do anything about it. So she's going to let him, you know, continue in that role. But we'll get into that more on the weekend.
I must admit, when it got to lunchtime on Monday, I thought, Chris is right. He's actually stopped them from doing the reshuffle just because we mentioned it on the weekend.
Well, that was another possibility that she's that petty that she would just show the NT News got it all, or the NT Independent got it all wrong. But then, of course, you know, everyone else was covering that. Yeah, when the NT News calls her and then they say, oh, the NT News understands this will happen tomorrow morning. They're like, come on, guys. What do you mean you understand? You mean you understand because the chief minister's office told you it was going to happen?
You understood the press release you just got 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, which I think it was close. There was something similar in the wording. I think that was on something else this week. But, it's just, anyway, it is what it is here in Jolly Old Northern Territory.
We'll check that out in detail on the weekend. Chris, as potentially part of that shakeup, the head public servant's also been put sideways or given his marching orders.
Yeah, well, that was the other one that I guess kind of happened in passing. She didn't bother telling anyone that. We should just, so people get just a general overview first of what that reshuffle was, and we'll get into the details later and the politics behind it all. But remember, keep in mind there were two big losers here, Paul Kirby and Lauren Moss, who were kicked out of cabinet. Now, Lauren Moss has been a minister since 2016, widely tipped by many back then to be future chief minister material. So that was interesting. 7 years as a minister, she's gone. And Kirby, of course, like I said about Kirby, he probably put his hand up and said, you know what, I'm willing to step down, chief. I'm not very good at what I'm doing here. I'm not across anything. You know, like I said, Kirby's the only one who's self-aware Yeah. You know, like he actually knows he's not good at anything.
Yeah.
But so
that's handy. That's a skill in itself.
It really is. When the rest of them think that they're geniuses and that they're working really hard and no one's more passionate than they are, as if that's some sort of thing, excuse or reason to continue. But so those two lost. And look, just the other, we knew Sleepy Joel Bowden was going to come in. He's picked up infrastructure planning and logistics, huge portfolio from Eva Lawler, business and jobs, tourism and hospitality, and recreational fishing. I didn't even know we had a minister for that. We do.
Yeah, it's a new one. And Minister of Defense as well.
Yeah. Potter, of course, Brent Potter. So that is, of course, Foss's chief of staff brother-in-law, the guy that she picked to run in Michael Gunner's seat when Gunner finally left town. He's now police minister. And I only say that, too, is that I don't need to explain humor to you, Pete. But last week when I was joking, you know, what made it funny when I said he'll be the police minister is that it was so preposterous and ludicrous that you would, that this guy who just got elected last year and that is connected to the chief minister's chief of staff like that, that he would even be considered for a portfolio, let alone police. And in the crisis that they're in internally and also externally with all the crap going on that they still can't get under control. That was a crazy decision. And yeah, we'll get into that more on the weekend for sure, because, oh my God, that was crazy. I still, I think we're all shocked. I'm still waiting for Turner to comment on it. And I think he's too angry. I think he's out kicking dirt or something.
Or he's still unconscious from dealing with it. And when he comes to, he'll make a comment.
Yeah, well, look, yeah, I don't think others will, but and the police union made their thoughts very clear, but we'll talk about that on the weekend. So one of these other things that happened, though, Pete, sorry, getting back to your point, was that this, look, the head public servant, so you had Jody Ryan in there for many years under Gunner. Gunner resigns, she takes off right after that. So they do a recruitment process. Files ends up bringing over a guy named Frank Daly, who was the chief executive of the Department of Health. Of course, she's still health minister and has been for years. So she brought him over. The guy, you know, I don't know enough about him, but I know that there was some ugliness in WA before he came over. He was running a hospital or something, some discontent and turmoil. Anyway, he comes over here. He does that for a year and a half, and then they promote him, make him the head public servant. Well, he only lasted a year now. And Files has quietly moved him out the door. Don't know where he went to. You know, he would have had one of these massive contracts. So whether they paid him out and he's gone, we don't know. But it was kind of revealed on Mix today when she was talking to Katie. She just said, oh, yeah, and, you know, we've also, Dr. Daly won't be continuing in the role as the head of the Department of Chief Minister and Cabinet. Ken Davies will take on that role and be in that position, she said. Asked, of course, why Daly was removed, Files said, quote, there are important issues facing the Northern Territory, and that she and her team are, quote, absolutely focused about growing the economy and getting those big projects here. Well, that doesn't
I've heard that right. Three times this week in answer to three different questions. Yeah. And the fact is that's fantastic that you focused on that. But unfortunately, the run out of that has not achieved anything. So at what point do you go, well, I was focused on growing the economy. I was unable to do it. So here's my resignation letter.
Look, it's this issue too that, in that role, he's overseeing, I guess, ultimately, although they brought in other people like a private investment commissioner and infrastructure commissioner to get to this made up $40 billion economy, right? And a guy like Frank Daly is actually supposed to be overseeing all of that. So is this a case of Frank Daly maybe being a realist and saying, you know, all you crazy people and your crazy idea here, it's never going to happen. Let's focus on something realistic. And they said, we don't need no reality around here.
Listen, mate, we're too busy working real hard to deal with your rubbish.
Yeah. Look, we don't know the issues here, what happened exactly. Files, again, just was, you know, these motherhood statements. She then said, I think she was asked, why? And she said, we know the opportunities. It's an age of opportunity for the territory. And at the same time, you know, the community safety is paramount to me. These are big challenges, but I think Ken Davies, is in the best place to serve the territory. So asking a roundabout way if Daly was not effective in the role, Fowles responded that her government has, quote, delivered hugely. I thought you would like that one. She said, but from my perspective, it's about making tough decisions to put the territory in the best position going forward. Whatever that means. But anyway, look, so this Daily's out now. Interestingly enough, Ken Davies has been around for a long time. And a lot of people I know speak very highly of him, interestingly enough. He was Department of Education chief executive for many years. He then was given the unenviable task of heading up Territory Families. That poisoned chalice for many years. Yeah. The reports were that he had retired, like either earlier this year. I think it was earlier this year. But this is like working for this criminal syndicate here, Pete, is that you're never really done with them, right? You think you can quit them and retire and go live a peaceful life, but they keep pulling you back in, you know? And so that's what they've done.
Where you live.
So that's what they've done to poor Ken Davies. So he's back in now. He's a head public servant. I mean, he's worked his entire career. He's finally got this. We'll see how that goes. But there wasn't a lot of information about that. We're expecting to talk to more people and kind of figure out what's gone down and why. But it is so crazy when you think about that. It's like 1 year. It was October last year that Daly actually got appointed to this. So something had to have happened anyway. We'll let you know when we find out more.
Sounds good. I look forward to hearing more details about that, Chris. And interesting story this week regarding the newly minted police minister. The Firefighters Union have welcomed splitting up of the tri-service, but they've immediately criticised their new minister.
As every union apparently did this week against Potter. Look, this was another one that was like quietly announced during the reshuffle press conference, and the NT News had reported that, and nobody else did, and it was like, but it was halfway down the story about the reshuffle. Oh yeah, by the way, splitting up the police, fire, and emergency services. Well, we need to understand that more. So the union now has come out and said, yeah, we welcome this. We've been asking them to do it for 20 years. It's never happened. They finally did it, but they said, you know, it just doesn't look good. They said that they only found out about it through the media, that the government hadn't told them, Foss hadn't told them, and that it didn't bode well for their relationship with the new minister, saying that he, did they call him a clown, or did the police union, I can't remember now, but they said it's disappointing after years. This is Erina Early, United Workers. Now, remember, she was also president of the party for a long time. So it's disappointing, she said, after years of lobbying government for this change, that the union and our firefighters found out after the media reported the split from police. It doesn't bode well for the relationship with the new fire and emergency services minister, Brent Potter, and the firefighters. So, yeah, she's saying, look, it's already coming from a trust deficit now that they weren't informed of this. It's just, yeah, anyway, it does make sense. It's one of those things that they were calling for, and that a lot of people were calling for a long time. Because of that they always, the firefighters always felt like the poorer cousins to the police, to the police, and the commissioner of police, of course, really staying focused on police more than firefighters. That had upset them for years. They just went through this really bitter, nasty pay dispute, EBA negotiations, which have been resolved. But look, keep in mind that what I was saying about Erin Early being part of the party. It's very interesting when you look at all of this from a political perspective for Fowles. Is she wanted to keep the left faction of the party happy with this reshuffle, and to some extent she may have. But Kirby was from the left and Joel Bowden's from the left. They kind of cancel each other out. One of the bigger things maybe as an appeasement to the left is this breakup of the tri-service now that that's what they've been calling for. It keeps the unions happy, but the unions saying, well, we don't like how she did it. But we'll see how that all unrolls, right? Like they've got the people who were kind of deputy commissioners for that in charge of fire and another one for emergency services. They'll stay in those positions while recruitment's done to find somebody who will kind of lead that other section. It's all political, right? Even if it's a good idea or it made sense, why didn't it for that long? Well, it finally happens when it's politically expedient for the chief minister.
Yeah, and, you know, it might be a good net result, but the rollout, again, done in the worst possible way.
Yeah. All these other changes that like they just didn't even announce. And, you know, and that was one of the strange things too. Somebody pointed out with that reshuffle is why didn't she mention Lauren Moss or Paul Kirby in the announcement about thanking them for their years of service as ministers and to the public and what a great job they did. Speculation now too that the both of them might not even run again the next election. So we'll see what goes on there. But yeah, the way that it was all done, it seems like it was really poorly organized and poorly media managed and rolled out so that everybody got everything, except they seem to want to keep some of this stuff secret. That stuff of the head public servant we'll be looking at more because something's clearly gone on there. You don't get booted out a year in without some huge disagreement or the fact that she thought she couldn't trust them anymore. I don't know. But anyway, all of it very strange this week.
Sadly, no shock to anyone, I'd imagine, Chris.
No, and then, look, she made no friends and no new supporters with this thing either because everyone knows. I mean, really, what's the point? Like we were saying, it's not going to help anything, this reshuffle. But anyway, we'll get into it more on the weekend. We'll have a lot more to say.
Sounds good. I'll catch you then, Chris.
Great. Thanks, Pete. We'll see you then.
That was Chris Walsh from the NT Independent. You can catch him again on Weekends with Walshy on the weekend. That'll be released around 7 a.m. Saturday morning. Other than that, we'll catch you next week on the Territory Story Podcast News Bites.
That was the Territory Story News Bites for this week. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.